when you were talking, I felt the Lord said something to me to give to you. And that is, he is going to speak something very specific to you. I have no idea what it is or what it's connected to. It may be during the trip, right after the trip, whatever. But he's going to speak something specific. And it may be where you go, where did that come from? Did I make this up? If that's true, just trust it. And then wait on it. So I just felt that's what the Lord said to give you this morning. Have a great time. Be safe. Well, we are still dealing with one another. And the what I want to have you to think about with me here this morning is, where does the role of patience come into our lives when it comes to one another and ourselves? Is there anything in it? Is it a priority in God's eyes? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we're not going to be turning to, we're only going to turn to one particular scripture this morning in Jeremiah. But in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, we know this love chapter. We hear it read. It starts out, love is patient. That's the very first word before any part of it. And so being patient with ourselves and with one another. And the word patience in its simplicity means the capacity to accept, to tolerate delay or suffering, here comes the point, without getting angry. The capacity to accept, to tolerate delay or suffering without getting angry. Love is patient. Now, we have been studying and looking at the fact that the Lord wants us to realize he wants us to know who we are in Christ. That's what it's really all about. When we come to know who we are in Christ, according to God's word, we have solid rock to stand on. We have understanding about who he is and what he has to say to us about ourselves. And there's something this morning that's very profound, simple, but profound in the context of being patient. How can you find a hold of something or get a hold of a thought in God that may help you to be patient? Remember, 2 Corinthians, we've read about that you are a new creation in Christ. The old is dead. The new has come. You're a new creation. It tells us in 2 Corinthians also that we are being transformed into his image. We are being transformed into his image. Notice the action. In John 10, it tells us that no one could snatch you out of his hand, out of his hands. No one can snatch you out of his hands. In Peter, he tells us that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter and the disciples were ministering, it came to a place where they were speaking publicly, and when they were finished, the people were talking about, the leaders particularly were astounded at what they said, and they said, how do these men do this? These men are uneducated. They don't have any background training in where they're what they're talking about and that sort of thing. However, they did know this, and they said this. They knew they had been with Jesus. Remember when we started, Jesus said, this is my church. I will build my church. He calls those to respond to his call of salvation, to call to the church life. He's building his church, his way, under his anointing and under his leadership. But as he works in our lives, how do we come to, is there something we can simply understand? Because it does say that when they spoke, they knew they had been with Jesus. Now, was it because they were perfect? Nope. Because they impressed the Pharisees and Sadducees? No. Because they were now accepted as leaders in the Christian or the religious community in that day? No, not at all. There was something about them that affected who they touched. But the question is this. We can many times jump to the need to be like that, to the call to be that way in this world. But there's something that happens before that, that if we can just get a hold of it, we can come to grips with, how can I find patience? How can I be patient? And where we're going to look at this at is in the context of patience about yourself. Patience with yourself. If you can be patient with yourself, then you can give that to someone else. Is there somewhere that we can come to grips to understand that? Oh, and yes, there are. That wasn't just a rhetorical question. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. As we turn there, I mean, to realize that God wants us to love one another as he has loved us, then there is something in the context of this that we are to hold on to, and that is we need to be patient. We need to bring that and look for that in our lives. And if you've ever tried to be patient when you weren't patient, that's very difficult. There's a picture that we're going to look at here, totally profound, significantly applicable to us. This is in the 18th chapter of Jeremiah. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house. I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as he seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does? Declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand. New Testament, I gave those verses where it says, we're in his hands. He holds us in his hands. We are transformed into his image. How can we be transformed into his image? His hands has something to do with this in our lives. What does his hands have to do with us? Jeremiah chapter 18 can give us real insight into this. And we can notice really clearly here also the plan, almost of the picture of salvation and what he does. And he goes down to the potter's house. That's the person that makes the pots. That's really profound. And you know what they did in those days, they, and still do, they had a wheel that would spin. The clay would be put on this wheel. And as the wheel spun and the clay spun, nothing happened until the potter's hands went around it. And then when the potter's hands are there, the potter's hands begin to form this, whatever he's making. On this wheel, this turning, this place that they're at. It reminds me of the story of the play called The Death of the Salesman. Willie Lomax was a seller of hosiery. That's what they called him in those days. And he always was looking for the big sale. I was going to go out and make the big sale, big sale. And he wasn't getting there. So one day he just got so frustrated that he felt like he was going around in circles, and he said, stop the world, I want to get off of this thing. And that's maybe what you've thought about times. Could you stop? I want to get off of this. But if we can realize that God has something to tell us about him and you, that him and you relationship and what he's doing can affect you in a way that can bring about patience. So he's going to use a potter in his house and the work of a potter to do this. Notice what happens. This is so simplistic and so easy. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. Notice what's next. But the pot he was shaping from clay was marred in his hands. What he was working on was marred. It was defective. It was damaged. So the potter, what does he do? Does he throw it off the wheel? No. Does he discard it and go somewhere else? No. It says, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. When I started giving you the verses of the scripture that had to do with Peter in Corinth, he said to this point is, you are in his hands. And I began to picture this as I studied and read this, that what he wants us to understand, what he wants me to understand is, here I am on the potter's wheel. Notice this is not hard to get a hold of. I am on the potter's wheel. I am who he's talking about. And he said, look, guys, I can form and do with Israel what I want. They're in my hands. But if you say, well, how do you get to the New Testament for that? Because it says you're in his hands. You're in his hands for what reason? We could come up with them many, but the one this morning that we want to look at totally and think about for a few minutes is the fact that you're in his hands for what purpose? You are on the potter's wheel. That's the symbol here. That's the illustration. You are there. You already have been affected by who you are. There's something happened to create who you are. It's there, who you are. But you're marred. This is not hard to make the jump. You're damaged. And we're damaged from sin. And we're marred from sin. So what does he do? Does the potter kick you off the wheel? No. It says the potter takes and forms the pot into what seems what? Best to him. Where can patience come from? It can come from the fact of knowing that who you are in Christ, that you are on his wheel. If he could do that with Israel, and he tells us about how he does that in the New Testament, he tells us about how he does that. We're in his hands. And there's all kinds of verses about how you are in God's hands. Your name is even written in the hand of God. But his hands are significant for your life. It's totally profound for who you are as a Christian. And so the application that we can hold on to is that God is forming you. You are on his wheel, and he is spinning it. And his hands are around you. And he is making you to become what, notice this, what he sees is best. He doesn't ask your opinion. He doesn't ask somebody else's opinion. And he doesn't want you at all to be affected by what somebody else thinks or what somebody else wants. He has a destiny for you. He has a plan for you. The Bible says that he has a plan for you, a plan that is good and not to harm you. So when he takes this marred pot, I think that's amazing. He does not throw it away. He takes it and forms it to what he sees is best. Not just another, but best. See, what he's doing is taking this application to the New Testament, which is contextually proper and okay, is that he's working in your life what is best in his eyes. And the formation of what is best comes from his hands, not from your works. When it says there that I referred to the passage in Corinthians that says we are being transformed into his image. What does his image produce? His image produces the fact that they can see we were Jesus. All of this happens by the power of God in your life, by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen by all of a sudden deciding and getting encouraged and motivated to be different or do this and do that, and you all know what it's like. But the fact of just sitting back and resting, not resting to be lazy, but resting to understand that you are in his hands. And being in his hands, he said, no one will ever snatch you from him, from his hands. You're there. He doesn't fumble you on the ground. He doesn't lose you along the way. He has you in his hands. And you're in his hands for a reason, to be transformed into his image of what he produces. And all of us, if we could picture the fact that if we could just humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, what does that mean? That means you're pliable to God's work, humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. That clay that he's working with is soft. It's workable. It's not hardened. And so if you just submit your heart to God and your life to Jesus, you can know that he's forming you, whatever day it is, whatever day. What for? For his best, for what he sees is best for you. Thinking about this, you then see the sovereign hand of God in your life every single day, every single moment. We don't need to worry about why. Why has this happened? We don't need to worry about, well, something didn't take place correctly. I wasn't here good enough today, or I was that. We can just stop worrying about all of that. And we can just give ourselves and relax in his hands and realize this, he's forming you to what he believes is best for you. That's his wisdom, and that's his knowledge. And what's he going to do? It tells us he does this for his glory, that he will be glorified, and you will be able to bring forth what you are in Christ. Look, some of us who've been Christians for many, many years, we just heard Katie's testimony of the wow moment that she talked about her own personal life this morning. And so what she said was, and if you think about it, really, really, really think about it, and you've really known her, she was saying, I've had Christmas that's been miserable for years. Never been good. I dreaded when Christmas came. Dreaded it. And as the potter's hands are on her life, not aware of what's really going on, not saying, well, I'm going to make this Christmas the best. She probably tried to make Christmas the best many times, and it was just a failure. All that process, what is it about? I don't know. But what it's one thing about is God's forming her, and as he formed her life in the process of this, he's bringing about what is best, and he gave her something that was best. His hands are even on the lost. That's why the potter's wheel had a marred pot. It was already damaged. And that's what we're like. And so when Tammy took that, what seemingly was like a crazy idea, to a lucky guess, as we might call it, which it wasn't, then to realize that that person's hunger was for it to be able to make cookies at Christmas. And that's significance. See, that person's already on his wheel. Marred, if they're not in Christ, and that's what it's telling us. And then comes the moment when you come to Christ and he takes and now puts his hands around you. And he says, now I'm going to make you into a new person. Now, if you can come to understand this in your personal life, then what can I do with you? With one another, what I can do is become patient with you. Oh, that's a challenge. We can see in this world today how hard it is to be patient. Oh, my word. I'm out on the road driving every day, and I see people blowing their horn at this person and that person that's slow and not always me, but you know, didn't move from the light because they're looking at their phone, and the person behind them honking away, get out of the way. Do you know what it feels like when you're in a traffic jam? You know, all those things, you know, we got to hurry. We got to get there. It's time to do this. It's time to do that. And when we do all of this, we feel this stress inside of ourselves. Think about that as your own Christian life, that you got to be this or you got to be that or you got to do this or you got to do that as a Christian. And when you're thinking like that, all it's going to do is stress you out. There's going to be no joy in it. But if you can come to realize that he's got his hands on me, oh, yes, the wheel is spinning. Oh, yes, I'm not going to get off because he's not going to let me get off the wheel. I'm going to stay on his wheel. And he is making for himself what is best. And when I can understand that about me, and I mean get it, then when I relate to you, and I understand you're getting it, I can find patience. Because I'm waiting, relating to you, knowing he's working in your life. He's moving in you. The pace I may think it should be, that's not mine to worry about. Or the way the world thinks it should be, or the way even I think it should be, or I should be like somebody else, or I should be like this person or that person. I got to walk and do these. No, it's not. It's that he is shaping you individually. And when I realize that about you, then guess what? Love is what? Patient. If I can't be patient with you, I've already violated the first line. And so how can I be patient? Not just bite my lip. You all saw me for a few years go through the whole issue, and I'm almost finished the issue of my obvious frustration with the sound system.
Amen.
Is that amen that you saw it, or amen yes? No. But anyways, you saw that. Drive me right up a wall. And what the Lord showed me as time went on is just relax. Be patient. I'm going to work this out. Not your way necessarily. But when he said that, I found patience with the sound system. And from that point on, I don't think you ever heard me complain about it. Maybe just raise me up a little bit or lower me. But I didn't say anymore. Because he said, I'm forming something. I'm working on something. And I'm understanding that if I love you, the love that God gives me, and he says, love one another as I have loved you, as we've heard about the passages of Jesus. When you're with Jesus, why does he want you 24 hours a day? Why did he want his disciples 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? And he was with them. He lived with them. He went to their families. Matter of fact, he went to Peter's mother-in-law's house and he healed her. So he was there with them all the time because he knew when they were together with him, they were going to be totally affected and their lives would be completely changed. Some of you had name changes in the process. And in that place, God worked so powerfully in your life, in their lives. So just take a deep breath. Relax. Realize, as today unfolds, he has his hands around me. As the day comes forth, he's doing his work. Now remember, what he's doing right now with you is what he sees is best. Ooh, there's the rub. What he sees is best. Shaping you to what seems best to him. You're in his hands. Nobody's going to snatch you out of it. He's going to love you and hold you and keep you. And you're in the hands of the Almighty God on his wheel, being transformed. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much that you want us to realize this life in you is not sometimes how hard we make it. This life in you that we walk in is just full of so many things that we can relax and be patient about and not judging ourselves and thinking, well, this shouldn't happen, that should happen, everything. The good and the bad, do you bring to us situations for our testing even? It says that you bring us to situations for our character to be developed. You bring us to many, many kinds of situations. Your hand is on me and working, and you're doing all kinds of things to make me, in your eyes, what is best. And I thank you, Lord, that you don't do that out of condemnation to me, out of potential rejection of me, but out of the love that you have that's going to see me to the day where you and I can see each other face to face. And that's what you told us. Face to face, to know that that moment I will be like you. Because as it says, when we see him face to face, we'll be transformed to be like you. And for that, I thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Help us to just rest in your hands. Let's keep it at that simplicity, Lord. I am in your hands. you are forming me on that wheel for what is best in your eyes. Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Lloyd?
All right, let's sing 10,000 Reasons again. We'll do the first verse of the chorus.